everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new episode. Remember, new episodes go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and you can find that along with all the other reviews I do, because I do multiple reviews throughout the week, by going to my link tree, which you can access by doing linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you get subscribed, that'll give you access not only to the YouTube page for the video versions of the show, but to your favorite podcasting platforms for the audio-only versions, to my Letterboxd page for my written reviews, as well as my rankings of films I'm watching through the year, and my TikTok page. You can see my short horror videos, which is always a good watch because I always do videos for when I'm seeing something early, like Immaculate or Imaginary recently. So hit that subscribe button so you stay up to date with all the great horror stuff that I'm dropping for all of you. Speaking of, we are talking the original Leprechaun here tonight. I recently got a chance to do a review of Leprechaun in the Hood, and given the St. Paddy's holiday, I figured there was no other fitting movie for us to take a look at than the first Leprechaun film. And that's exactly what we are going to jump right on into. Now, in the events of Leprechaun in the Hood, things had gotten a little bit elevated by that point, and the Leprechaun was trying to track down a group of rappers who had stolen his magical flute that allowed them to kind of break out and get the dream of becoming big rap stars that they want to be. But we got to go back to the original film, which points out something interesting with all of the sequels to Leprechaun versus the original movie. And that's that, similar to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, there is not really any continuity across any of these films. Even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I use that loosely, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre has some very loose continuity from film to film. But beyond that, there's not really a connective tissue between them. A lot of our other horror franchises, they have way, way more direct connections from sequel to sequel to sequel. And so Leprechaun is very, very interesting for the simple fact that out of the six films in the original franchise, so we had Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun in Space, which is Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in the Hood, which is 5, Leprechaun Back to the Hood, which is 6. So out of the 6 original films, none of them really have much connective tissue with each other besides the fact that Lubdin the Leprechaun is in all of these films. And I just find that interesting. Doesn't hurt or help the series at all, but it's a very interesting note about this, because this franchise, which was rebooted not too long ago, is still ongoing. There's a sequel that's coming out sometime this year, I want to say it is. And just very, very interesting, because I think those films carry continuity, whereas the original films don't. But I digress. The story of Leprechaun surrounds Lubdin the Leprechaun, played by Warwick Davis, who has tracked down his pot of gold to the O'Grady farmhouse and has come across a group of individuals unlucky enough to have found that pot of gold, and he will seek his murderous revenge to get it back by any means necessary. Now, the film sets us up by introducing us to Dan O'Grady, who has just come back from a trip to Ireland, who has located the Leprechaun's pot of gold, but the Leprechaun has given chase, and after killing Dan's wife and giving Dan a stroke, is locked away in a wooden crate thanks to the power of a four-leaf clover for about 10 years until the Reddings, played by Jennifer Aniston, yeah, that Jennifer Aniston, by the way, show up to rent the O'Grady home for the summer. They're looking to get it fixed up. And when this group of people discovers Ludbin's pot of gold, they'll find themselves directly in his murderous path. Now, the plot of Leprechaun really isn't all that complicated. Basically, what I told you is exactly what you need to know. This murderous little leprechaun is hunting down anybody who happens to have any of his gold, whether it's one gold coin or the entire pot. He's gonna hunt you down, and he's gonna kill you in the most inventive ways that a leprechaun can come up with. And funny enough, most of those ways seem to involve childlike toys, like a pogo stick. So very, very interesting methods of killing for this monster. But this movie, even though it came out in 1993 in the early 90s, it's interesting that it finds itself in the kind of creature features we were getting in the late 80s, early 90s. Like, something about Leprechaun seems to go hand in hand with films like Critters or Ghoulies, to where it seems like it might be geared a little bit more towards kids, even if it ultimately isn't. Like, obviously, this is an R-rated film, but watching it, you kind of feel like this is one of the more tamer options that's out there, regardless of the cursing, regardless of the fact that, again, the leprechaun does kill a number of victims in very bloody ways in this movie, it still feels like it's more of an appropriate, like, kid-orientated. It's geared toward kids, either way, is what I'm trying to say here, is that this would be like one that you would put on for a younger audience if you don't want them to see anything overly brutal. And you know what I'm talking about, like limbs getting torn off and intestines getting, like, you know, kicked out or punched out or anything, jaws getting ripped off. None of that is to be found in Leprechauns. Just a little bit more appropriate. And you add on to the fact that, man, the cast of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, like, had a lot going for them. I mean, obviously, we got Christina Applegate, who in 93 is just moving, Married with Children, various films. You have Robert High Gorman, who's in this film, Leprechaun, who played the younger brother in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. You have Daniel Harris, who did Halloween as Jamie Lloyd, which, my absolute favorite. Love me some Jamie Lloyd, for sure. But that entire cast seemingly had a lot to do in the early 90s. And I love that, because I think that Robert High Gorman being in this film is part of what makes it a little bit more kid-friendly, because this is obviously a kid that you probably wouldn't expect anything bad to really happen to. And that's honestly the way it works out, is that so many things happen in this movie to other characters there, but his character of Alex, I believe it is the one that doesn't end up taking really any damage. And this is a movie to where folks are getting bear traps caught on their feet, they're getting a pogo stick stomped through their chest, they're getting their hands bit in half, all these things are happening, and nothing happens to the kid, so he kind of gets off scot-free. Not really what the experience that Danielle Harris had in Halloween, but still gets off there. And again, it's one of those reasons why I think that this might be a little bit more appropriate for kids. Like, the leprechaun is creepy, but it doesn't help the fact that he also seems like one of those childhood-friendly characters on a show you might watch around that time, who makes it a little just more accessible for younger audiences to watch it. Now, I do believe that the simplified plot, while it definitely doesn't hurt it, it unfortunately puts it towards the bottom of the original Leprechaun franchise, because I do feel that as the movies go on and on and on, we get far more mythology and far more interesting stories, no matter how outlandish they really are. And as they don't touch too much in this film, besides the fact that, hey, you got a pot of gold from Leprechaun, he's gonna try to hunt you down. Oh, your shoes are dirty, he's gotta shine your shoes. Beyond that, there's not much mythology in this first film, I feel, that kind of works itself across the rest of the franchise. So as much as I enjoy the original Leprechaun, it would be hard for me to not point out that it doesn't necessarily stack up in terms of scope against the other movies. Again, good watch. But the other films are far more enjoyable just because of the expanded mythology coming out of it. Needless to say, though, the first Leprechaun here has some really good kills in it. Acting-wise, you know, you're getting what you probably expect from a film like this, all right? I think Jennifer Aniston is a great actress, but again, this is very, very early Jennifer Aniston, pretty much right before she jumped onto Friends at this point. Like, I think Friends would have been within like a year or two of this film, which is kind of crazy to really think about, honestly. But either way, like, you're not coming to this movie for the acting, and the performances are believable enough. Like, you're probably going to feel like you're watching a late 80s horror film, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what I will say is that, because especially Peacock has all the Leprechaun movies available for you to watch, it's a good idea, if you're going to watch this, to go check all the other movies out as well. As the plot gets better, the scope gets better in those, and the expanded mythology just adds on to those other films, to where it's a bit limited here with the first film. But either way, check it out for yourself. Let me know in the comment section what you think of the original Leprechaun. Have you checked the other ones out? Do you agree with what I say, that it's a good movie, but in terms of ranking, it's probably not near the top? Let me know that in the comment sections, folks, and make sure to get subscribed, because I got so many more great reviews coming for you. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Hey, everybody. Looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news, as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW.